This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
I'm very interested to see the defensive backs run because we know that the Bills have a need for speed. But I think there is a greater premium on speed at the cornerback position for the Bills than maybe we've ever seen before. I think with the increased use of man coverage across the league, speed is a higher priority now because you need guys that can run with these receivers.
There's Chris Brown, One Bills Live from Indianapolis, the NFL scouting combine earlier this afternoon. On the Fan. Are we good with Andy?
I want to say, yes, we're good. Andy, you still out in Indianapolis?
We are actually on the road back to Buffalo right now.
Andy Young, Spectrum, making his inaugural visit into the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Welcome in, pal. How was Indianapolis for you?
Hey, glad to be with you. It was awesome. It's a busy week. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of GMs and coaches and agents and players. There's just a whole host of things happening all at once. There's a steakhouse on every corner in Indianapolis, and everybody is having their drinks and having their steaks and congregating among the NFL media and teams. It's a really cool experience.
Andy, if we could start here, because there's so many Bills issues with free agency, and one thing that would help the Bills in the draft certainly is, all right, can you fill these needs here? And if we can start there, like, wouldn't it be nice if the Bills filled all their needs in free agency? How realistic do you think that is? And, you know, where would you start in free agency from that standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a bunch of different holes, most of them being on defense, with the exception of wide receiver. So I think you're looking at a potential outside wide receiver. That's going to be a big deal. But do they want to break the bank to go get a big name? I don't think so. I don't think they have that in them in terms of the salary cap. So to me, you're looking at free agency more on the bargain bin at wide receiver, defensive side of the ball. They certainly need an upgrade at defensive tackle. They need more depth there to go alongside Ed Oliver. And they also need some stuff at edge rusher, right? Like, they could be saying goodbye to Von Miller. They could need a cornerback too. They could need another safety. I mean, there's a whole host of things that they could do on defense. So I think they're going to attack some of those areas. And I think Brandon Bean generally does a pretty good job of finding good deals and guys who maybe didn't work out in a previous spot, and the Bills think that they can get those guys to the next level. Maybe aging veterans. I know that you like to do a lot of deals, one-year deals with veteran guys to bring those in. So those would be areas I think they're going to try to attack. Will they get them all accomplished? I highly doubt that, which is then why you go to these young guys in the draft.
So, Andy, before we had you on, we were having a discussion about corner and what the Bills might do, and we certainly believe that an extension is coming for Christian Benford. Rasul Douglas hits free agency. Whether or not the Bills want to pay him is yet to be determined. But then there's the, you know, not only do you have what you have with the prospects there in Indianapolis in the upcoming draft, you also have the former first-rounder in Kyrie Elam. I'm of the belief that the Bills have yet to completely punt on Kyrie Elam, or that they haven't been able to find anything, anybody willing to give them anything of value for Kyrie Elam, and that by the time we get to training camp, Kyrie Elam is going to be like the buzz player that everybody, oh, Kyrie Elam is on the field. Did you see the plays Kyrie Elam make? Where do you come down on how the Bills could deploy Kyrie Elam, the former first-round pick?
You know, that's interesting, because I haven't heard a whole ton of people with that idea that maybe they're kind of holding on to Kyrie Elam because Rasul Douglas could leave in free agency and they may not want to give a deal there. There's been some talk about them playing more man coverage. We saw that throughout the season, and it's been discussed in the offseason here that, hey, maybe we need to play a little bit more man than just the, you know, deep shell zone that they've typically played under Sean McDermott over the last eight seasons. And you saw that a little bit in the playoffs too. So if they maybe think that they could still unlock something out of Kyrie Elam, I think that's a little bit of a possibility. But for whatever reason, it has not clicked with them and the Bills and Kyrie Elam. And whether that's coaching, whether that's something that he can't do and can't get right in practice. So the fact that he's hardly been able to get on the field, even sometimes through injuries, is concerning to me. And I wonder at times if they're ready to just say, all right, the experiment is done and move on. But because you're right, I mean, his value on the trade market is almost nothing. And I don't know that they're going to just want to cut him outright. So they may have some plans to try to bring him back in. That's a thought I hadn't had a ton of, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Andy Young from Spectrum is our guest here in the Sports Bar. If you had to say what are some of the bigger storylines, certainly James Cook being one. And Andy, I'll give the compliment to Brandon Bean. He's way ahead of the curve on a lot of this stuff as compared to, say, the Cowboys, where it's always the 11th hour, let's figure something out with the player. Like, nothing has to happen right now with James Cook, okay? This is not a contract that expires until after this coming season. But with that being said, we don't see this too often where this kind of plays out in public. Maybe it was Cook doing this on his own. Maybe it was the agent. But regardless, I guess it doesn't matter. I guess what's next is what matters here, Andy. Andy, what is your read here on the situation surrounding James Cook?
I know that Sean McDermott really loves James Cook, and they rave about him. And McDermott especially, even this week, just raved about the type of player that he's become, because not only was he a guy that they thought, all right, he's going to be a third down back, he's going to be drafted to be a pass catcher. Well, guess what? It's almost the opposite now, in that he's become their bell cow running back and added this physical element to his game. You saw it against the Chiefs. You saw it throughout the season where, at 190 pounds, he's bowling guys over. So I think that they really love the guy he's become and the potential that he can continue to have. I just wonder how much of a disconnect, maybe is not the right word, but a difference in what Brandon Bean thinks and the value of a resource of pouring that kind of a contract into a running back, because we've seen him, like you mentioned, get ahead of those sorts of things. They keep drafting these guys every two or three years, and to me, that's sort of been the life cycle of NFL running backs lately, is, all right, you bring him in, let him play out his 4 years, and then you move on to the next guy that you drafted 2 years prior, right? And maybe that's what Ray Davis is in mind for, right? But at the same time, I don't think he's going to get $15 million. I think that's a whole lot. I think he's one of the better running backs in the NFL. But as we've seen, you look at Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, these guys where there seems to be a little bit of a resurgence in running backs. Maybe some teams decide, all right, now we can, if it's the right guy, give that guy a nice extension.
Yeah, it's funny, Andy. I mean, you mentioned Barkley and you mentioned Derrick Henry, and these are guys that are coming off unbelievable seasons that have kind of reinvigorated this running back value conversation, because for so long, running backs weren't able to get paid or can't get paid, and Cook getting $15 million would put him right behind Christian McCaffrey as the second highest paid back in the league, which would be such a departure from how Brandon Bean has viewed that position as the GM of the Buffalo Bills. So I can't help but wonder, going back to Indianapolis in the Combine, and what we hear is an extraordinarily deep class at running back this year in April. Do you think the Bills are taking another running back with a mid-round pick?
Yeah, I certainly think that's the possibility. And like we've seen Brandon Bean do this year after year, whether it's Singletary, whether it's Cook, whether it's different guys. You just keep Zach Moss, another example, like third, fourth, fifth round, just keep drafting a guy. And maybe you hit on one, and maybe one of them becomes James Cook. Now, he was a second-round pick, so he's a little more touted and had those physical traits. But, yeah, to me, I think they probably are in the market to take another running back, especially because they don't know what's going to happen with Ty Johnson. He could leave in free agency. James Cook situation, Ray Davis, right? So maybe you bring in a young guy and you work him in and you see what he has, especially if in a year you've come to a contract stalemate with James Cook and you want to say, all right, we're not going to do the big contract extension. He decides to leave. All right, so then you got Ray Davis and you got another young guy behind him. So to me, that's a good thing. And I think Brandon Bean has shown that maybe that's kind of the plan, that third, fourth, fifth type of running back.
They've never done it before, Andy, but could you see the Bills and can you see Brandon Bean at the end of next season, if they don't come to an agreement, use the franchise tag on Cook?
Man, that's a great question. That is a really great question, because think about this. If you're in this Josh Allen Super Bowl window and James Cook clearly took a massive step forward last season and became one of the better bell cow running backs in the NFL, though he doesn't play a whole ton of third downs, that's kind of concerning to me. But yeah, the franchise tag could be a possibility if they say, look, let's bring him back at, you know, the average of the top five highest paid running backs in the league and go, let's take one more swing at a Super Bowl, right? I think that certainly could be a possibility.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Andy Young from Spectrum is our guest, returning from Indianapolis, where it's been a long week, Andy, for you. And at the beginning of the week, we had Sean McDermott, the first head coach, to get up there. And you know, there was one player, whoa, this kind of stood out to us right away when he was talking about Keon Coleman. Now, just my opinion, Andy, on Keon Coleman. I almost think there was like two different Keon Coleman seasons. You know, you had a rookie progressing, nice big play against Houston, and then the wrist injury against the Dolphins, and when he came back was never quite the same. Hey, it's a rookie season, whatever. I was a little surprised that Sean McDermott kind of, I don't want to say put him on notice, but to call the season rocky and kind of, you know, infer that they expect more out of him. Andy, what did you make of this? I mean, is there more to the story here regarding Keon Coleman?
Yeah, I mean, it's the second time that he's kind of called out Keon Coleman. He did it at the end of the season press conference, which is just, like you mentioned, very out of character for what Sean McDermott does. He doesn't really send messages to players in the media. You don't hear a lot of that. So for him to come out a couple of different times now and say, yeah, look, we really thought Keon Coleman was an ascending player. They've mentioned the Seattle game where it looked like he was dominant, both in the running game, blocking, catching passes, right? And really ascending through the rookie season. Then he gets hurt against Miami, and then they've said it, Brandon Bean has said it. Sean McDermott has said it. We didn't see the same player. And they've mentioned that maybe he didn't do all he could do to get back from injury the way that he needed to, right? And to be the kind of player they needed down the stretch, and that he has things to learn. I don't think they've soured completely on Keon Coleman. I just think they think there's more to unlock there, and this is their message to him to say, look, we know that we need more out of you. We want you to know that you need to step up, right? And you need to learn, and we think you can, but we need you to hear it and we need you to do it, because whether that was the rehab process or being attentive around the facility, I don't know. I haven't heard anything in the background as far as what happened there, but obviously they're not pleased with how he returned from the injury and thought he should have been a better player for them down the stretch.
So, Andy, along those lines, and again, going back to Indianapolis, where you've got plenty of wide receiver prospects and a couple of them from Texas formally interviewing with the Buffalo Bills, did you hear any chatter around wide receiver in the Buffalo Bills? Because I'm of the opinion that while the Khalil Shakir extension is nice, it is not the be-all, end-all for the Bills wide receiver room, that they still need a true number one and somebody that will actually make defenses pay attention when you get to the postseason.
Yeah, I actually asked Brandon Bean that very directly. We did a little one-on-one interview segment, which Brandon Bean's great about giving some time to the media at the combine. And I asked him, hey, look, you know, there was Everybody Eats, and we talked a lot about that. And it led to an MVP season and the highest scoring team in team history. But a lot of people are still saying you need that outside number one alpha wide receiver like you had with Stephon Diggs when he was at his best. And Bean said, look, we're never going to turn down good players, but he's got to be the right fit for the system. But Sean McDermott has said it too. We need more playmakers. We need difference makers. We need speed. We need guys who can stretch the field both vertically and horizontally. So, you know, whether that's a downfield threat or one of those gadget kind of guys who can be a Deebo Samuel type and stretch the field that way, I think they know that they could use a little bit more in that direction. And I heard a lot of scuttlebutt at the combine about that potentially being a spot where the Bills could upgrade and take a pick in the first, you know, two rounds, right? A first or a second round pick. And I think there's a whole host of receivers maybe towards that area in the late first and then into the second and third round that are kind of really bunched together. You don't have the huge names like you had last year, like Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze, but you have a whole group of guys who could be good players in that late first round into the second round. And I think that's certainly a plum spot for them to keep the cupboard full for Josh Allen. Like, yeah, Josh can elevate guys, but you want sometimes a guy who can elevate Josh when it's called for.
Andy Young from Spectrum is our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester. Andy, so we have free agency, we have the draft. Before we get to all that, the Bills have to be cap compliant. And this time last year coming out of the combine, whoa, that was a lot of bloodletting. You brought up the name Von Miller, and I don't think it would be a big shocking story if the Bills moved on from Von Miller. Beyond that, are there any other surprise names, do you think, that the Bills could move off of here as they try to get under the cap?
Yeah, I've heard some folks talking about possibly trying to move on from Dawson Knox, and I just don't see that given the way his contract is. I don't think it works. I think there's too much dead money there to get rid of him, and they don't fully trust Dalton Kincaid yet. So Knox, while I've heard that talked about and people say, oh man, he shouldn't be one of the top 5-10 tight end salaries in the NFL for his production, he's really close with Josh Allen and he does the things they want him to do. So I would put that to rest. I wouldn't be stunned, but Von Miller is the big one for me. And then, you know, you could have a surprise here or there. I've even heard some people mention Matt Milano because he's getting up there in age and the injury things. I don't think they're ready to move on from Milano yet either, but I think there is the possibility of a surprise one that maybe we don't know.
We're talking with Andy Young, Spectrum, covering the Buffalo Bills and returning from Indianapolis, the NFL scouting combine, where I imagine you didn't get into any confrontations with any other Bills beat reporters, which we appreciate, Andy. What else can we glean from what we learned from McDermott and Bean? I mean, was there anything significant with your conversation with either of those guys while you were there in Indianapolis that we haven't touched on as of yet?
Yeah, I think the other interesting thing is kind of what happened with Dalton Kincaid. And they've kind of, in the same vein to the Keon Coleman situation, almost in a way called out Dalton Kincaid. Yeah. Now, maybe they're asked questions about those players, but they've been very direct in the way that they've referred to Dalton Kincaid needing to be a better player for them. And to them, that goes back to play strength, being stronger at the point of attack, getting bigger and stronger physically in the weight room, and also more durable because of that. And they certainly need more out of Dalton Kincaid. They need more out of these top picks. We've talked about Coleman, and we've talked about Elam, right? And we talked about Kincaid. Those are prime guys. You need those guys to be big pieces of your offense. When they draft Dalton Kincaid, they expect him to be one of their top receivers, and that just didn't really happen for him last season. Kind of a sophomore slump for him. And this kind of also goes back to the injury stuff with him. And also, I found it interesting, the firing of the strength and conditioning coach, yeah. Eric Ciano, right? So, I mean, that's an interesting part of this, too. Were they not happy with how those guys were performing? And physical strength might have something to do with that.
Andy Young, Spectrum, we got to do this more often on his way back here. So it's a weekend where we don't have much going on here, Andy. Tell everybody what they can go check out at Spectrum in terms of your Bills coverage.
Yeah, if you head to SpectrumLocalNews.com, we've got one-on-ones with Brandon Bean, with Sean McDermott. We've got a whole host of coverage on my social media page, at Andy Young TV. We've got our Buffalo End Zone podcast, which is a good time. It's Kevin Carroll and I. He's driving right now. I'm sitting shotgun. So the two of us kind of do that and have a good time. And we're both out there in Columbus and kind of recapping all the stuff that we heard and saw. And, we'll have more continued coverage, of course, leading up to free agency and the draft and all that good stuff.
Tell Kevin I say hi. I think the last time I saw Kevin, we were in a locker room at Bill Gray's Iceplex Cross-Check Cancer game with some Sabres and Amherst
alumni.
Yeah, I remember
Kevin used to play in that. Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Well, safe travels. Thanks for the time. Great job. Let's catch up again soon, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, let's do it anytime. Appreciate you guys having me.
Right. Andy Young, thanks, Spectrum, Eddie, covering the Buffalo Bills and returning from Indianapolis. The Kyrie Elam thing ears are going to perk up. I'll give Perino credit for bringing it up to us earlier this week. Like, we all want to just dismiss that guy's gone. He's done. He's not going to be a part of this team in the future. We've turned the page on Kyrie Elam. I don't think the Bills have turned the page on a former first-round pick.
Okay, let's look at his contract here, Danger, because honestly, like...
Last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah, last year of his rookie deal. Because
they didn't take the fifth-year option.
So, like, this is not going to be a big cap... Okay, his cap hit this year is 4.3. His base is 2.5. What does that tell me? If they were in a situation like they were last year, bye-bye. See you. You know, like you could save a little bit of money in that. But if it gets evident by the time you're on a camp, you can always, okay, we'll take the money now. Maybe we use that come trade deadline or what have you. It's not a factor one way or another, mm-hmm, cap wise. So if it's not a factor one way or another, and listen, I love the contributions of Brad whenever he calls in, and Brad, because you brought it up, like, could you flip him for a fifth round pick? The answer is no. you couldn't get a pick swap for Kyrie Elam. So at this point, what are you doing? Well, there's a lot of guys that come on in to camp that you know that don't have a chance, right? When that 90-man roster comes out, like, who are these guys? I've never heard of these guys. Well, in that vein, what does it hurt to have Kyrie Elam around trying to get this together? Usually for me, Danger, if you don't have it by year three in this league, okay, what are we doing here? But what's the benefit of moving on at this point, I guess?
If you can't get anything for him, there's no benefit. Obviously, you're going to keep him and try to make the best out of it.
But I'm not going to buy into the storyline here. Meaning, the hope would be he would really have to shine,
yeah,
in order to earn that spot.
Right.
I think they're drafting somebody, and they're hoping that that person steps up.
They could absolutely do that, and that's certainly a possibility. Or you let them compete. Hey, this is your last chance. You compete with the guy that we drafted. Somebody's going to start opposite Benford. And I'm just saying, I don't think that they've washed their hands of Kyrie Elam completely. He was a former first-round pick. There's a lot of arrogance in the NFL and a lot of, I don't want to be told I was wrong.
The Keon Coleman stuff is interesting. Like, when he got hurt and then wasn't the same, can we connect the dots here that he wasn't doing everything he needed to do in that rehab or whatever it was? I mean, it's just remarkable to me that you don't get McDermott saying players like this through the media.
I just wonder if their personalities are a complete clash, that they're oil and water in terms of their personalities. When you listen to Khalil Shakir talk, you get it. He's bought in. You can hear it in his voice. You can hear it in how he speaks about the team. And with Coleman, we hear it, but I wonder what it's like behind closed doors. And I wonder if there's just a lack of communication between McDermott and Coleman where they just don't always see eye to eye because their personalities are just so different. Now, let's face it. I mean, Coleman's got a big personality, right? We love the yellow jacket and the cookies and the I'm not Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Wish I Could. I mean, like, great stuff. Great big personality.
They will say, let you be you. But yep. If you're not doing what we need you to do.
Yeah. Like
I don't think it's a clash of personalities or whatever. If he's doing what he's doing, I mean, who cares? I mean, some of these guys are putting out social media. Like Deion Dawkins is a Pro Bowler and he's hilarious, right? Nobody's upset about that.
Right. Worth paying attention to, obviously, though. And man, here we are about to flip the calendar to the month of March. And the NFL draft will be here before we know it, man. We're about 2 months away, and I can't wait. Good stuff from the Combine. Good stuff from Andy Young at Spectrum joining us here on the Sports Bar and letting us know the latest on the Bills and their pursuit of some of these prospects in April's draft. Happy Hour is on the way next, and we have plenty of time for you.
Look, we already said you were right, you were right. No one cares. So, like, I want to look ahead, though. Like, what are the next dominoes here?
One of our regulars, that would be Chris in South Central Kentucky, has the makings of another hashtag boxed wine bet as we have this conversation about Kyrie Elam. Will he be on the roster in 2025, or will it be somebody that isn't on the roster in 2025?
Chris, were you trying to get me in trouble?
He's trying to get you in trouble.
You're being a bad influence.
Yeah, yeah. We will talk about that Matthew Stafford deal that we don't really have the details on, but we have heard Matthew Stafford will be back with the LA Rams, so we're going to still wait for that Sam Darnold domino to fall before the quarterback carousel really gets going. We'll get to that and more next. We do have time for your calls at 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.